I have the strangest dream, Beulah, my dear. I'm standing close to you and holding you near. I feel electric shock just being close by, touching your flaxen hair and seeing your eyes. I don't understand this thing. Is it a lark? I wake up tossing and turning and yearning alone in the dark and hearing my bark again. These feelings are strange to me, I can't explain what makes me feel 10 feet tall but brings me such pain. It's bound to be sorcery, Beulah, my dove, some trick of the sleeping mind, or could it be love? But I don't have time for love, or poetry or song. Protecting my ranch from dangerous forces, I've got to be strong. But maybe I'm wrong again.
I took a deep breath and looked off in the distance for a long time.
Oh, Hank, that was a very nice song. I only wish things had worked out differently for us.
It was pretty clear at this point that the song had worked. I had made a small error in judgment, rolling on the dang skunk, but I had made up lost ground with the singing. Oh, we mustn't mourn over what might have been. One nice thing about the past is it's past. Now,
I scooched over close to her.
How about a little kiss for your favorite troubadour?
Oh, I guess just a little one.
She closed her eyes and leaned over. I waited to be touched by the branding iron of love. But all at once her eyes popped open and she made a terrible face.
Oh, Hank, I can't kiss you when you smell like that.
She moved several steps away from me.
And I shouldn't be kissing you anyway. There's no sense in pretending.
Huh? Well, hey, listen, I can take a bath if that's all you're worried about.
No, it's more than that. Don't you understand? Hank, you're a fine dog. I admire you very much, in certain ways, and in another time and place, Hank, I'm pledged to another.
Another what?
Another dog.
I felt I had just been hit over the head with a post. I see. And I suppose that means Plato.
She nodded.
How could you choose a bird dog over a cow dog?
It just turned out that way. We don't always control the way we feel.
Would it help at all if I challenged him to a fight to the death?
No, that would be childish, and it wouldn't change a thing.
It's all coming clear now. I wasted my time. I wasted your time. I wasted my very best song. It's time for me to shove off and find something to fill this crater in my heart.
She looked away. When she turned back to me, there was a tear sliding down her long collie nose.
But Hank, you'll always be a special friend.
Thanks, Beulah. Since I plan to commit suicide, I probably won't be needing a friend, but I appreciate the offer.
Oh, Hank, don't be silly.
I started walking away.
It'll be quick and painless, don't worry. I'll die with your face on my mind, and then you won't have old smelly Hank to worry about anymore. Goodbye, Beulah. Goodbye forever.
I called to Drover, and he came at a run. Plato saw me leaving.
Leaving so soon, Hank? I thought you might be staying for supper. Plato, old buddy, what I'd really like to do is have you for supper, but I guess that'll have to wait. Thanks, Hank, anytime.
Drover caught up with me.
Where are we going?
I'm going to join my ancestors, Drover.
Oh, a family reunion.
Not exactly. We headed up towards the house. I was going to cut through the yard and then strike out across country. But just then a pickup pulled up in front of the house and stopped. A man got out and went up to the door and knocked. He was carrying some radishes and onions. It was the same Baxter feller we'd seen at the low water crossing two nights ago. The guy who lived on the next ranch down the creek. And I had a suspicion that he might be hauling something interesting in the back of his pickup. While he was talking to the lady of the house, Drover and I went over and sniffed out the pickup. Then we marked all four tires just in case we might need to run a check on it later on. I had just finished the back left tire when a freckled nose appeared above me. Directly above the nose, located at right angles perpendicular to the line of the nose, were two big brown eyes, one on each side. They were very pretty brown eyes, nestled below two long feathery eyelashes.
Hello again, big boy.
Well, blow me down. I believe it's Miss Scamper. Imagine meeting you twice in the same week.
This is your lucky day, you big old hairy thing. What you got planned for the rest of the day?
Oh, I thought I might get run over by a truck, but I might could be talked out of that.
Really? What would it take?
Well, to be perfectly honest about it, Miss Scamper, not much.
Well, just jump your bad self up here, and we'll go for a little ride, huh?
Drover had come around the back of the pickup by this time and heard some of the conversation.
Hank, you better not. Beulah might see you.
I looked off towards the elm tree. Beulah was watching.
Yes, she might, Drover, but that's a chance I'll have to take. Stand back, son. I'm fixing to load up.
I coiled my legs and gave a mighty leap, cleared the tailgate, and landed right on top of Miss Scamper.
Oops, sorry, ma'am. Hope I didn't hurt you.
She batted her lashes and grinned.
You're such a big old boy, and you jump so high, and I love your smell.
Yeah? I can already tell you have good taste.
What is it, if you don't mind telling?
It's a secret formula, ma'am. But I guess I can tell you.
I guess you can.
Dead skunk. Specially aged and very rare.
Ooh, I love it.
Drover was still sitting on the ground.
Hank, can I go?
No, get lost. Go climb a tree.
I could hear his claws hitting the tailgate, and he tried to jump in. Then he got a hold with his front paws and scratched and clawed his way into the pickup.
I made it, Hank. You proud of me?
I was all prepared to order him out, but then I heard Baxter walking back to the pickup. I figured it would be best to lay low or he'd throw me out again. I laid low. He got into the cab, kicked off the motor, and started up the hill. Went back to the tailgate and waved goodbye to Beulah. She had seen the whole thing, and when I waved, she stamped her feet and yelled,
"Oh, I don't care. Just go on with your little strumpet, because I don't... Oh!"
Well, I don't care either, so that makes us even. You had a golden opportunity and you messed up.
Well, I'd gotten the last word on Beulah, but in the process of barking this message to her, I clean forgot about exposing myself to the driver. We just topped that big hill there in front of the house and crossed the cattle guard when Baxter laid a heavy foot on the brakes. We came to a screeching stop. He jumped out of the cab and looked in the back.
"You dadgum dogs, get out of my pickup and go home. Yeah, suey!"
I glanced at Miss Scamper. She shrugged.
"We have trouble getting together, don't we, big boy?"
I was fixing to answer when I got hit in the ribs with a bundle of baling wire. Drover had already abandoned ship, and I figured I'd better do the same before the storm got any worse.
"See you around, Miss Scamper."
"Come up and see me sometime."